like Dr. Schroeder, I am not a lawyer, but I do hope to represent the fact that at least a little bit younger generation still has a little bit of fire. So there you go. The future of disability. Is that future already determined by today's patterns, or can the outcomes be altered? Does the future have boundaries based on the classic notion that disability is inherently limiting? Or are there new unexplored opportunities ahead? Do we know all there is to know about disability? As I began thinking about the future of disability, I found myself thinking about the most important forces influencing society's view of disability. And there is no doubt in my mind that the single most important influence on the future of disabilities will be what we decide to do as people with disabilities to test the perceived limits that society has placed on us, to raise expectations, and to raise expectations for our participation in the world. The keys to our success in the next 25 years will be to continue to measure our progress not by how far we have come, but rather by how our role in society compares to that of our non-disabled peers, and to challenge ourselves and our own assumptions about disability and the policies that we use to confront the artificial barriers that stand between us and our dreams. And with that in mind, I want to take the brief time that I have today to share a few thoughts on just two aspects of the future of disability: education and technological innovation, as a spark to the ideas that we'll forge together in the next 2 days and in the year to come. I graduated from high school 20 years ago, and in many ways, my educational experience as a blind student in the public schools of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, was second class at best. And when considering the future, it begs the question of whether education for students with disabilities is better today than it was when I was in school. And although I have personally spent much of that 20 years working on the education of blind children, I reluctantly conclude that as a whole, the education for our students is not better today. My daughter, Oriana, is now approaching her 5th birthday. She has the same eye condition that I have and is experiencing the same level of blindness as I did when I was 5 years old. Her younger sister, Elizabeth, is almost 3, and she is on that same path. Oriana is currently in pre-K and is attending a public charter school here in Baltimore City. Now, Oriana's mom and I are not exactly what you would call average parents of a student with a disability. We both have advanced college degrees, extensive advocacy backgrounds, and experience as blind individuals educated in the public schools. And we have a tremendous network of friends across the country who can fill in any of the gaps. Yet when we showed up at that first IEP meeting, we were immediately met with low expectations that we continue to combat. And due to time, I'll only share one story with you. Although we were able to get the school to agree to provide instruction in Braille due to our informed advocacy, the teacher of blind students suggested that a reasonable initial goal for Oriana would be that she know the Braille characters for the 26 letters of the alphabet with 90% accuracy during the first year. Now, it'll be no surprise to any of you that the sighted pre-K students are not expected to know anything less than 100% of the alphabet by the end of the year. And for the child with a disability in our education system today, the barriers, the bar is automatically set lower based only on the rationale that disability means lesser than. The reality is that lower expectations will always reap lower returns. And consider what would have happened, what Oriana's fate would have been had she had the typical set of parents, individuals who do not have experience with disability, who are not connected with education and advocacy resources like those available in the National Federation of the Blind, and who cling to the hope that the WISE special education establishment will give their child the education they do not know how to provide. The future of disability includes breaking out of today's entrenched notion of special education and creating a revolutionary notion that our 21st century classrooms and educators should be tuned to raise expectations for all students. And new models of teaching must emerge where educators with expertise in specific areas of disabilities can work collaboratively with our best subject area educators to unlock the potential of all students. Schools must stop purchasing inaccessible technology with the goal of later finding an unreasonable accommodation for students with disabilities. We imagine a future where schools will only implement innovative technologies that are fully usable, regardless of the mode of accessing information, auditory, tactile, or visual, and regardless of the means of manipulating the systems, physical, by voice, or simply by thinking. In that future, our schools will also rely more on authentic mentoring experiences from adults living their lives with disabilities, rather than attempting to teach certain skills from a non-disabled perspective. In order to achieve this future, we are going to have to consider changes to our concept of educational equality for students with disabilities. The Individuals with Disabilities Education Act has been effective in getting our students into classrooms, but it has not provided an equal environment, and it has not significantly transformed the way disability is understood by our best educators. Instead of segregating students with disabilities into specialized classrooms, we have segregated them into integrated classrooms with a special form of education. The end result is largely the same. The future of disability will largely depend on our success in altering the patterns of education for the next generation and getting people with disabilities to be a more significant driver for educational training, research, and curriculum development. And secondly, the degree to which technology is built with accessibility from the beginning will be a critical factor in the future of disability. Equally as important is our success in anticipating the questions that will rise from the implications of technology becoming more tightly integrated into every aspect of our daily life. Let me just give you one important illustration. Greater access to transportation for the disabled is one of the favorite benefits promoted by engineers working on self-driving cars. With the great promise of that social benefit to the disabled, will that be enough to ensure accessibility in the design is baked in. My belief is that our active advocacy will be required if the promise is to be more than just marketing. Now, there are many policy questions that will arise from shifting from today's concept of drivers to tomorrow's concept of active navigators of self-driving vehicles. Will a license be required? What will the qualifications be? What physical requirements will there be, and how will they be demonstrated? If we allow the decisions to be made by today's pool of eligible drivers and all of the misconceptions that they bring from their experience, we can be certain that many people with disabilities will be left out. Certainly, blind people will be left behind if the expression of poor driving, "What are you, blind?" is any indication. Our concept of the requirements for navigating self-driving cars needs to be informed by an authentic view of disability and enriched by our experience, rather than the artificial barriers that have previously existed. And beyond the policy implications, the physical vehicles of the future will need to include accessibility features. What will the inside of these vehicles be like? Will they allow for access from people with physical disabilities? How will the vehicles be controlled? Will they include inaccessible touchscreens, or will they include built-in accessibility, allowing for information and controls to be accessed and activated through a variety of modalities? Furthermore, if a self-driving car is built without accessibility features, will it be illegal to sell it in the marketplace? Or will the future of disability mean our riding in the self-driving vehicles that look more like the yellow buses of old than while everybody else is riding in the sleek, sporty vehicles of tomorrow? The future of disability in this realm and in others will be determined by our active engagement in these emerging products and our ability to influence design and policy in a society that increasingly values technological innovation. We cannot assume that the advances in technology will either benefit us or be built with us in mind unless we continue to drive the future of disability. Now, education and technological advancement are just two of the domains where we need concentrated action. Employment, parental rights, community involvement, and voting are hundreds of others of areas, aspects of our society that will require our attention. We can be filled with hope for the future, however, as we have built patterns such as our Disability Law Symposium here that equip us to be proactive and allow us to sharpen our skills in raising expectations to meet that future and to raise expectations to overcome the barriers that stand between people with disabilities and our dreams. Thank you.